It is indeed. That's entertainment. 2 minutes past 11 this Friday. It's time now just to switch off a little bit from the trials and tribulations of life and just insert another set of trials and tribulations into life. Michael and Fionnuala. Oh,
there you go.
I didn't see that coming. Damn it. You'd think after all these years...
No, the puns would be like right there in front of you.
Rightio, come here. We were just talking about the television or televising of the coronation of Britain's king tomorrow. For or against? Will you be watching it, Fionnuala? It is television.
Anybody who listens to this regularly knows I have an issue when it comes to them, in that I want to dislike them and yet I get dragged into... I sort of flicked over just to see what was going on with the funeral and kind of 3 days later came out of it. You know, that sort of way. Because you just get... it's amazing to me, really, because it's like, it's complete twattle. You know what I mean? And we all know that it is. And you're like thinking in your head going, you know, people in the world are starving and all
those... Yeah, people try and frame it like that, but it doesn't...
I know, but then you sit down and actually, once you sit down then and watch it, you kind of get sucked into it. And suddenly you're like, why is that guy standing there holding six hats? What does that mean? Why is that?
Why have they just towed a stone down from Scotland?
Yeah. Like, well, they didn't give it back to Scotland for years. That's why, in fairness, that's why it's part of they had to give it back. It used to sit under... Have you never watched the movie?
No.
With Robert Carlyle?
No.
And they went and nicked it. actually, very fun movie. But it used to sit underneath the... It was always sitting placed under the throne is where it used to be for hundreds of years. And then they had to give it back to Scotland. So now they have to get it back to up and down again. But it weighs a lot of money. But I get caught up in all that crack because I just think you just get dragged into kind of the history of it.
Yes.
And the fact that these things actually stay so strict and to the rule and they don't seem to bend. Mm. I mean, in fairness, in some ways the Catholic Church is actually a bit more fluid than the British monarchy when it comes to, you know, going with the times.
Yeah. And obviously all the talk about... I think really the death knell for the royal family for me was that visit. Was it that one of the sons, William, he went to some African nation and it just was ridiculous. Do you know what I mean? That you had the locals, you know, just the way it was
received. The pomp and ceremony of it all.
Yeah, was just the sort of the elitist of the royal family and then colonised.
Or was it not one of the Commonwealth countries that he was at?
Yes, but I think it really kind of highlighted how life has progressed, if you know what I mean, in a short space of time. But that being said, the argument, you see, the argument that, you know, Britain is going through a terrible time at the moment, people are starving and poor in great, great numbers, and this massive amount of money, they tried to do a similar argument here with the Biden visit, but it doesn't really wash with most of the public. People just accept it.
Yeah.
I think that's probably the thing. I mean, like, you know, there's a lot to be said for when the Queen passed away, people had her kind of in their heads and their hearts or whatever, and whether or not that was going to be the change of it or that people weren't interested in it. And then they came out in their thousands and queued for hours and days just to walk around a coffin. You're like, it does.
Michael was there queuing?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Oh, yeah. So such a royalist me. Yeah, I'm the
opposite. You're a bit of a queen yourself.
A bit of the opposite really? Of. I would say I'm not to be too serious, but I'm very much my father's son. I look at the royal family through the filter of Irish history.
Yes.
So I won't be watching tomorrow.
Oh my God.
If my mum and dad were alive, mum would be watching. She'd be, because she'd just love it. Dad would just be like, Sue, and he'd be passing the heat in it, and I'd be with Dad.
Yeah, okay.
So, good. You know.
Right. Yeah. A couple of congratulations. Congratulations to Inishowen Rugby Club ahead of their 50th anniversary celebrations and opening of their changing rooms tomorrow from Corran Dunne Nursery. Best luck to that. It's the first interprovincial match ever to be held in Donegal, actually. It's a junior match. And they've got entertainment, I believe, from half... Oh, I don't want to say it now in case I get it wrong. I think the entertainment's from half one and then... The match is at half two. Best wishes to Scorn and Old Buncrana. All-Ireland drama final today in County Kerry, written and directed by Patricia Tinney Doherty, from everyone in Buncrana. And of course, as you might know, Tiny Vaughan is behind a raffling of a tractor. It's to support a number of groups who were involved in the response to the Chrysler tragedy. And it's going great guns. Apparently that fundraising continues in Letterkenny Shopping Centre today, tomorrow and on Sunday. And it's the Meva Fire Service, a great organisation, who are one of the beneficiaries, I believe, and also who are selling the tickets. All right.
Love tractor.
Huh? It's a lovely tractor. It's a 135 as well.
I love to win a tractor.
I want
like
a tractor.
I like the idea. It's like owning one of those flatbed...
Yeah,
like the truck.
Yes.
You know the way
that
the Hilux
and a quad.
And those kind of things.
I want a Hilux, a quad, and a tractor.
Yeah, once I saw Pierce Brosnan drive. I think it happened to be a Toyota brand. He drove it over lava. I was like, oh yeah, I totally need one of those.
Right,
I drove
okay.
over lava. Awesome.
I think we need a reset. Michael Eddy, Redemption of a Rogan, RTE2.
Yes, this is on tonight.
You love Aaron too.
Aaron Marathon, yes. Have you ever heard of him, Fionnuala?
I know.
There's new information to me. I didn't realise that he was a fan of yours. I watched this movie last night. I had never seen it. It came out a couple of years ago. 2020 seems to be the date on the movie. It's on tonight. I went into it sort of blind last night. Friends of mine had seen it and recommended it and said it was a dark comedy and it was definitely my cup of tea. And they were right. Mm. I was laughing loud and heavy from early on in this film. Fionnuala, have you seen this film?
I have seen this film, and I'd just like to say that in 2020, I too recommended
yes,
it to you.
Yes.
And it took you 2 years before friends recommended it.
I think it's 3 years.
Do your math. You clearly established our relationship. Friends recommended it to me. And then he decided to watch
it. And then I decided to watch
it.
This was like 3 years
ago. Not me in an entertainment slot telling him this is
horrendous.
I know, it's terrible. They're fighting again. We're going to make Greg cry. He hates it when mommy and daddy fight on air.
Stop it.
So this is a very surreal film. Jimmy has been away from home for 7 years and he returns home, home being West Cavan, rural Cavan. Mm. And we learn early on in the film that Jimmy is a pariah in his town for various reasons, one very funny and one very serious. So when people see him on the street, they're like, is that Jimmy? Is that Jimmy Cullen? And then, no, don't be daft. He would never come home. So Jimmy does come home. And very early in the film, he visits his very sick father. And very early in the film, this is not a spoiler, he accidentally kills his father. And that sets in motion a variety of events. The funeral cannot take place while it rains, the father has stipulated. So it rains for like 40 days and 40 nights. During which time the children stop speaking and stop eating and the businesses start closing down and everybody starts to panic. Is it Jimmy's fault? So you can gather from this brief description, this is definitely a very surreal film, not to be taken seriously. It's dark. The theme of suicide runs through it in a way that works really well, but might not be for everybody. And there are some religious moments in a church where statues come to life that may offend some people. Didn't offend me in the slightest. I was laughing from start to finish. It's on tonight. If, like me, you haven't seen it, even though friends recommended it, see it tonight. I would recommend. It's a good laugh. It's a Friday night film. It's
well, we know there is a hierarchy of his friends anyway, and you are quite low.
I'm not in the top ten anyway.
I'm ignoring
sure.
both of you. Get a beer and sit back and enjoy it tonight. Or a cup of tea.
Yeah.
Get a cup of tea. In fact, about an hour into it, I wanted to make a cup of tea, and then I got caught up in the story, and 20 minutes later, I was like, well, if I don't go and make a cup of tea now, it'll be over. It's because I got so wrapped up. There was a big twist about an hour into the film, which I thoroughly enjoyed. It's great fun. It's great crack. Yeah. And I know some of the people in it. I've worked with one of the people in it. And Aaron's
name. I've recognised loads of people in it.
Yeah, loads of. And Fionnuala, you're a fan of his.
Aaron Monaghan.
Right. What has he got that I haven't got? I want to know. No, have we time? I know we have to go off the air.
He would acknowledge me better than you do in public and my thoughts, I
the
think.
The truth hurts.
But no, Aaron Monaghan is in it. He's a fantastic actor, and actually, I think his wife has actually directed it. Oh. I think that's the way it's a group that they have in camp. They brought a few pieces here, the same kind of group that have made that movie. They did, and now of course I can't think of the name. Do you remember we saw a play and it was
the play in Cork. The group of kids, that was him, wasn't it?
They won about the with the animals in it and the.
Oh, that was their yes. We did. Yeah, they had the very. Yeah.
They brought. I'll have to look it up.
A scene that your grandmother would not approve of.
Yeah, they brought some stuff here to the theatre, and it always has kind of a dark sort of a. Crazy,
true.
Kind of an edge to it, the stuff that they do, but it's definitely well worth watching.
Yes, I think this is just the best way.
So, marks out of 10.
Oh, easy 8. I loved it.
It was a little bit too dark for my liking. Yeah. I wouldn't like it as dark as it was. So I probably would have given it, but still would give it a good 7, 7.5. Like there's some great acting in it. There's some really, you see a lot of faces that you'll recognize from different things you've seen. Some great Irish talent in it. So it's definitely worth having a look at it.
All right. So let's go, shall we, to the cinema, Guardians of the Galaxy?
Yeah.
Version 3.
Very excited. Michael and myself took ourselves to the cinema to see this. We actually ended up seeing the 3D version of it because it's in the local Letterkenny cinema here in both 3D and non. And this is supposed to be the final rendition of Guardians of the Galaxy. There's been two previous to this, and obviously being volume 3, this is the final one. It's also, I think, kind of marks the end of a chapter in Marvel where they're kind of moving. If anybody's a big Marvel fan, they know they kind of do different stages, and this is kind of still part of 4, isn't it? And we're heading into 5 now as the next sort of group that it goes. So they finished off a lot of people's stories and that kind of thing. I absolutely adore Guardians of the Galaxy. I think it is one of my most favourite kind of groupings of the Marvel movies. This one sort of is a little bit of a step away from it. The one thing I would say about 1 and 2 in Guardians of the Galaxy, even though there was some kind of like minor adult themes or whatever, like abandonment and different things like that that come up in it, you could bring a 6, 7, 8, you know, all those little kids you see running around in the pajamas and all those, you know, with all the superhero pajamas and that. You could bring all of those to see this movie and the Guardians and you wouldn't, you know, there was nothing in it that you think that, oh God, they could take that away and it might be upsetting for them. This kind of took a little bit of a dark twist turn, which is not outside of the Marvel idea, but kind of for me, for the Guardians was kind of outside of it. The stories are normally that sort of a bit more brighter than the other ones. But this sort of had a dark twist. There's one of the characters in it and we got a lot of his backstory and that was quite dark and kind of upsetting. There was a lot of stories coming to an end or coming to a close that had kind of been, you know, different themes that had come across the 3 movies. I'm not sure was I very happy with how some of them ended, but then that's my own personal, you know, I like everything to be tied
when
up with a bow.
When it cannot be completely written, directed, filmed, produced to satisfy every one of your wants, Fanula, as much as we...
Not?
Because you are an individual on a planet of 7 billion.
I know, absolutely. But...
So you're going to have
to... And she's one of my friends too. Let's just put that out
liar.
There.
I hold my opinion very highly though, so I really feel they should have taken me into account. But no, I have to say it is an absolutely thoroughly enjoyable movie. It's getting, like, even when you're reading the reviews and stuff on it, it's getting huge rave reviews from the viewers and that. Some of the critics are kind of coming on both sides of it. There's a lot of sort of going on in it. The story's probably...
It looks amazing.
It looks
it's
absolutely
definitely a
fantastic.
Big screen. If you can get to the big screen, yeah. 3D yes. or not, I don't know.
Yes.
But it looks... Like you want to see this on
the
big screen.
I don't. The 3D. I was kind of walking out of it thinking I didn't necessarily think there was anything massive.
Yeah. It's kind of hard to talk to each other in 3D with the glasses on. Like, hello.
No,
she still talks. She still talks.
I think sometimes with 3D films, they stick stuff in for the 3D. part of it that perhaps doesn't need to be
that
there.
That point where the person goes, hey, look over there. Look at that thing there.
I think...
there?
In our head, yeah.
Over here.
But I think in our heads as well, I'm of the old-fashioned kind of thing, if this is what 3D was supposed to be. 3D was supposed to be like that when you stuck out your finger that I nearly felt like that, like you were doing there, that I'd nearly feel it brush against me. You know what I mean? The reality. Whereas really, to me, all it gives is it gives a depth into the picture. You know what I mean? I don't really, you know, the way, remember, like when it first came out, we were like, oh my God, this is going to be like as if you're in the movie.
Yeah, the climbing out of
like,
the screen.
Oh, yeah. And that it was going to be, you know, like you feel like they started going in the 4D where they started putting in the touch and the smell and all that into it as well. And you were like, oh, this is the way to go. But now it just seems that it gives a kind of depth. So to me, it doesn't really add a lot to it. But some people really enjoy it. So I suppose I wouldn't take it away from them.
Did the 3D add to the experience for you?
No.
It didn't. What about you?
No.
Not really.
I saw Ant-Man in 3D and I thought the 3D was much better in Ant-Man. The 3D of this was, it's give or take. There was nothing. There was a couple of times where you're looking through the bars of a cage and stuff like that, and that's impressive. But apart from that, no was the answer
there's
to your question.
There's not more immersive.
There's not much, no. Okay. Whereas Ant-Man really took you into an alien world and there was things off over the horizon and there was stuff that I thought was very cool.
Yeah.
Just a different
take. So what did you think of the film out of 10 then, Fionnuala? I mean, so I think it's going to be a great popcorn movie in it that you get out.
Look, it was a fantastic movie, as in it's got all of the elements that you're looking for. I wasn't mad about the story as I would have been in other
you're
ones
very
in
invested
it.
In the story and the
yeah,
the world
I do
as
like
well,
the
yeah.
And then the characters and that kind of thing. And it's sort of, I suppose, in my head, knowing that it was the last one, you kind of felt that things were going to be resolved in some sort of a way, and a lot of it wasn't. And then there is a question of, will they show up in other movies along the way in this new thing? And maybe that's why they've left it kind of up in the air. To me, it felt a like I kind of needed another one. It sort of felt a little bit like a middle movie kind of a thing, as in they'd moved the story so far and then it's kind of been left a bit, but then they may address it in the next volume of it. But I did really enjoy it. There's no way you could go in and walk out of it without feeling that that was fantastic. And so I would definitely give it an 8 or 9, 100%. I really enjoyed it. But I would say to people who are used to it being, like Guardians being the one that you can confidently bring smaller kids to, I think you might want to sort of check it out online and just make sure, because... if anybody who watched it, the one of the characters, Rocket, has been experimented on, and they go back to his story about the experimentations. And while none of it is very graphic as to what happens, there is other animals that have been experimented on. It kind of gives you that sort of, do you remember in Toy Story, I saw some another reviewer had kind of put it against it. Remember in one of the Toy Stories where the neighbor had taken the dolls and kind of put them on different bodies.
Yep. I know what you're saying.
So there's a little bit of that in it, which could, for, you know, younger kids that would normally, you'd sort of say, oh God, no problem. I would have brought anybody to see the Guardians movie. I always thought it's a lovely starter for Marvel. Well, what did you?
I loved it. I thought it was, to me, it's like the Captain Americas have always been the best trilogy. Now I think maybe Guardians is the best trilogy. It's a uniform, unified, cohesive story from beginning to end. I think it's a definitive ending. I just think it didn't end the way maybe we're expecting. But I think James Gunn is finished now because he's not with Marvel anymore. A lot of those contracts are finished. I know some of the cast have said that's their contract's done and they're not doing anymore. And I think it's a good ending. Actually, it's a great ending. It's just not what we always expected. I cried more than once during this film. Luckily, the 3D glasses kept Fionnuala from ridiculing me.
Goggles that were filled
filled with water the whole way, yeah. But I loved it. I'll be going back.
I'll be going back
to see it again.
Oh, definitely watch it again.
Oh, yeah, I'll go back and see it again.
I would look forward to watching it, but I actually might do the 1, 2, 3. I think you just watch these particular films. Maybe there are people listening that watch them in the same context of you, but you just watch them in the context of the wider
universe.
Marvel picture, don't you, as well?
And you don't need to, a buddy of mine...
No, I'm not
some... The Guardians pulls out entirely that you don't need to.
Because he had said to me, after we said, oh, I haven't seen that man yet, and I was like, it doesn't matter. They're not connected. Just go and see this if you love the Guardians movies. It doesn't matter.
We're going to take a break before I do. Seeger Sessions Revival. It's a 13-piece band of musicians from all over the Northwest. They're celebrating Bruce Springsteen's Seeger Sessions album. If anyone has seen them, they will know how awesome they are. Well, they're playing in the Button Cotton Factory, Temple Bar, Dublin, tomorrow, if anyone's travelling down for the concert. Also, you can see the Seeger Sessions Facebook page for a list of venues and dates to be played across 2023. Let me see, there was another thing I needed to mention here. Has anyone watched Beef on Netflix? I so nearly gave it up midway through episode 4, ended up finishing it that night. Beef on Netflix. Haven't even had that flagged to me. Sorry, put your mic down.
A guy from one of the other radio stations. He was telling
would he be a friend?
He would. Johnny actually would be a friend.
A friend you might listen to?
Ignoring you both.
We used to watch Lost together back in the day when I lived down in Galway.
So he knows. He knows so your...
Exactly. Yeah, and then he begged me to watch Game of Thrones. And I watched the first two and went, oh my God, I will never speak to him again. And then I watched the third and suddenly, 6 seasons later...
You're speaking to him.
Oh my God, I loved it. So he's recommending this Beef. It's on and it has been lit for another series, so which is unusual for Netflix because they keep pulling out the one series wonders. So it must be quite good. I think it's set in a... chef's thing as well, isn't it?
All right. Last season of Brooklyn Nine-Nine. Was it 99? Brooklyn Nine-Nine?
Brooklyn Nine-Nine.
Finally dropped on Netflix. Very hard to end a good show, but I think, says this listener, they did it perfectly.
Good to hear. Good to hear, yeah.
Have you watched that?
Oh, yeah. I love it. Richard, this is part of my trawl through life trying to find my next half-hour comedy.
This has been happening for four years.
Because
years.
I haven't found one. Because Brooklyn Nine-Nine used to have 20 odd episodes. Yeah. It went on for like eight years, that this was the last one. Where is the new series? Like Brooklyn Nine-Nine is up there with Parks and Recreation. It's up there with Modern Family, 30 Rock. It's a really good police, funny, great ensemble cast, the whole
thing. It's really a workplace. I mean, yes, the police element is there, but it's a workplace comedy.
Nice when fans, like our listener, are happy with how it concluded. Because how often are we disappointed? You know yourself, some of our crossovers on stuff we like.
Yeah.
I started watching Jack Ryan again because I wanted to sort of follow on from The Night Clerk.
Yes.
Night Agent.
Yeah, yeah.
I watched that, but I have no recollection of anything that's happening in it whatsoever. I don't know what was going on when I watched it the first time, but it's enjoyable. You're a big fan.
I wasn't crazy about series 3. I wonder, is it because we binge watch things, and when you binge watch things, do they all morph into like this?
Of course they do.
Amorphous thing where you don't remember it. Yeah, but it's great fun. That first season is probably the first and season. No, actually, no. The two seasons, first two seasons, are really really good. Yeah. You haven't seen the third.
And I'm not sure how much of the first I watched because it is so fresh. But it's just a good show.
It's a good show. I agree. Completely. You know, good action show.
There's a lot of stuff that's not good.
But it's a good action show. You want to, you know, and you have a likable hero and you get behind him, and when other people don't listen to him and you're like, well, he's going to have to break the rules to get the right thing done.
I liked season 3. I thought it was good, but I do think I don't know how many seasons there are in it, in the sense that once you've seen him, you know,
do his thing.
Defy, like the whole point about Jack Ryan is either you go the Tom Cruise way, in which case he doesn't look like a fighter, he looks like he's smart, and he goes, you know, so it depends on which way you're kind of going to go with it, you know. In this one, you just don't think John Krasinski is going to be that all over action figure-y, and then he suddenly is in it, and he's very good in
it. But they do hint at it in that he is obviously got a military background, but he's suppressing it for one reason or other. But I get where you're coming from.
And he's also credible as a nerdy character. You believe, I think, easily that this is a guy who could sit for hours and hours doing computer things and looking at data.
Bit of a row amongst listeners about Beef. None of us have watched it. But this caller says, I don't agree with renewing Beef. It was excellent, but to continue it is a money grab, which has actually made me more interested in it.
But it's a good point. Like one of the things that I might be chatting about is the BBC series Time. And you know, they're bringing Time back and they're bringing Vigil back.
What is it? BBC Time? What is it?
It was it's a series about prison. From a couple of years back. Right. But the point, I agree, I haven't seen Beef, but sometimes you wonder about things getting renewed. You think, is the story not done in one? And do they need to bring it back? I don't know. I haven't seen Beef, but I think that's a point worth listening to.
Because I think sometimes when people love something, you know what I mean, as in love the series, they go, oh, we have to continue this.
The flight attendant should never have come back. The first season was absolutely brilliant. They brought it back for a second season, and they just did. Once her issues were dealt with, more or less, you didn't have a story anymore.
It's a completely different series then, really.
Yeah.
The voice is there of Michael and Fionnuala, and thank you for getting involved in the conversation. 086 60 25,000. What are you watching? What do you want to watch? And it just doesn't have to be stuff that's good. What really disappointed you? Have you been to the cinema? Have you views on 3D? We just want you all up in this conversation, so to speak. If we're talking about the telly, how would you like to get on the telly? A new series of Underdogs is coming out. It's to be broadcast on TG Cahir. Fiona Fitzgerald is the series producer and joins us now. Hiya, Fiona.
Hi, Greg. How are you?
Good, thanks. Talk to us about the show.
For the past couple of years, we've been doing Underdogs with the GAA and the IGFA, and then this year with the Women's World Cup and the excitement of that, and such a big year for women's sport, we are turning our attention to women's soccer. So basically how it works is we put together a team of underdog players. So these are players that may be playing at a grassroots level in clubs, or players that have stepped away from soccer. They may have played at a higher level for various reasons, and we give them the opportunity to play against some of the best teams in the country. So the idea is that they'll train together for 6 months, and at the end of that they will take on one of the top SSE or Tricity Women's Premier Division teams. So it's a big challenge, and at the moment we're putting together that squad. So we're putting a call out for women's soccer players all over the country to apply, and we'll be holding trials this June.
And the age criteria is you have to be over 18.
You have to be over 18. You have to be over 18. You can't have played. You can't be an active player in the SS Electricity Premier Division League at the moment, or within the last 3 seasons. But other than that, it's open to everyone, bar anyone that's played at a senior international level.
So it should make up for quite an interesting cast then, so?
Yeah, I mean, we've done this this programme, you know, with the GAA for years, and it's just a brilliant real-life opportunity for people to make that jump. You know, for whatever reason, they may not have done it through the normal channels, and it just gives them that massive opportunity.
All right, brilliant stuff. Short and simple. People can apply by going to tg4.ie/underdogs. That is the URL. And sign up there. Brilliant stuff. Thanks, Fiona. All right, bang up to date we are now. We've another half an hour in the show, and then Michaela Clark, she's chomping at the bit just to get in here now and play 3 hours of Dermot Kennedy. She just cannot wait.
Only Dermot Kennedy.
It's just around the Dermot Kennedy. It's not even the Northwest anymore. Now, I hope I haven't put her off playing Dermot Kennedy. I just know she's a fan. But anyway, that's fine. We want to hear Dermot Kennedy. We'll be disappointed if we don't. Right. Okay. Time then. Let's talk about time.
Yes, this is a BBC series from a couple of years ago. A friend recommended it.
Not me.
Not you. No, I saw it myself a couple of years ago. And it's popping up on BBC, on RTE, apologies, on Sunday night at 1 a.m. So it's a chance to see this highly acclaimed series if you haven't seen it. You can either sit up late, or you can just record it, time shift it, that's what all the kids are saying 30 years ago. It's a story of two men. Stephen Graham.
As per the trailer.
Stephen Graham is a prison officer. And we follow his story across the 3-part series. And that, to me, was the highlight. Big fan of Stephen Graham.
He's in everything, though, isn't he?
He's in everything, but he's so good at drama and so good at comedy. And Code 404 is just one of my favourite comedy shows. We also have Sean Bean, and he is a man who arrives in prison. And he reflects on the crime that landed him there. This storyline was a bit... didn't work for me so much until the 3rd episode. I thought it paid off very well in the 3rd episode. But I found his mooning around the prison, feeling sorry for himself.
Mooning or moaning?
He was
there's quite a difference between the two.
Well, you can have a long face.
And
oh, right, okay.
And it's prison related.
Yeah. Oh, gosh, let's keep it. Okay. So anyway, ignoring both of you, I would give this an enthusiastic thumbs up, particularly for the 3rd episode. It's 3 hours. It's highly acclaimed. They are going to bring it back, but not with these characters. Because they're bringing, I'm sort of like, yeah, the story of these two men is done when you watch this 3-hour
bit
story.
Bit of a theme coming on the programme, isn't it?
Yeah, bringing things back. Yeah. But obviously, it was a huge hit back in the summer of 2021. The BBC are obviously going to franchise it. And just, I think the next one is set in a women's prison. And it's just going to be a completely different story. Anyway, be that as it may, if you haven't seen this, and of course, so much material out there, there's loads of people won't have seen it, will have heard of it. You have a chance to catch up with it again. RTE, very late on Sunday night, but set up or as the kids say, time shifted.
Yeah, okay. Right, so that's time coming up on RTE. Did you mention the time it's on? Sorry.
Sorry, 1 a.m.
One, right, okay.
It's late.
Right.
I think it's after... what's on before? Is there? Anyway, I'm
joking. Really doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter. Okay. Is kin repeated late or something? No.
Possibly. There was a debate about kin being too violent. Now, I haven't watched it, but seriously, we've had this conversation before. What's going on? I know radio stations have to fill the time, but if you don't like it, don't watch it. Mm. Look at the amount of violence that's in all TV shows.
TV,
why is it because it's created here?
Yes.
Are we saying, is it too violent?
Is it a double standard?
It's a moot point. Who cares?
I think it's because sometimes you find with these things that the distinction between reality and fiction comes a bit blurred. And I think with Kin and the same thing with Love, Hate, there was all talk about that. I think when they're set here and they're done here, then they think we should only be portraying, a cleansed version of, and obviously then if you are going to portray anything that has a negative thing, it's television. You're going to take it to an extreme. That's the whole point of it.
Exactly.
Like, there might not necessarily be that level of violence.
It's not a bald vulture video, advertise Ireland as a holiday destination.
But it could be set anywhere.
No, I think it's that unrealistic expectation of an Irish connection in a show. And it's like, oh, no, you can't have that kind of stuff. But you can. Of course you can.
I actually think that having the conversation is a little bit embarrassing.
I don't know, do they have the same conversation in other countries? I mean, have you seen Gangs of London?
Or Baltimore.
God, that was that was unbelievably... It was about four TV programs that came out of there. Each one more violent than the other.
Yeah.
But Gangs of London, I had to stop watching Gangs of London.
Yeah,
the level of violence in it
was your choice. Would it stop you going to London?
No, oh my God, no! Yeah. I love London, but it was just it was literally
to the point where if someone says to you in a bar, say, "Oh, I'm not going to London. I watched Gangs of London," you would laugh at them.
Exactly.
Yeah, that's
You'd go, seriously, you know that's a TV show, don't you?
I know.
You?
Yeah. Well, or it's like saying, you know, Law and Order has been set in New York.
Yes.
Three series of it has been set in New York, but like everybody wants to go see New York. Yeah. Even if it's only for
Miami. Like we had Dexter, serial killer. Running around Miami, getting away with it.
Yeah, you can't. You have to take things. But I think sometimes I wonder about where we take the blur. Because I saw a film which I actually really enjoyed, Operation Fortune. It's on Amazon.
Actually, what a lovely segue, because that's exactly what we're going to talk about now.
No, because it does fall into it. Mm. Because it was, and the only reason why I wanted to watch it, because I don't normally like it, is Guy Ritchie's movies. And I'm not a massive Guy Ritchie fan until he did The Gentleman, and then which you can watch on Netflix. And it is an amazing movie, quite violent.
So Jason Stratham is in this as well?
Yes, is in this one, yeah. Jason Stratham's in this one as well. So is Hugh Grant. Aubrey Plaza's in it. Ooh. Carrie Elwes, I can never pronounce his name. What's his name from The Princess Bride? The guy that...
Oh, he was in the X-Files.
He calls you Finola, so it doesn't matter.
That's fine. He's from The Princess Bride anyways. Everybody will recognise
him. X-Files.
But this is made by the same crowd that did it, and it's supposed to be that similar kind of a thing rather than just the kind of pure violence of Guy Ritchie's earlier stuff, which I wasn't a big fan of Snatch and a few of those other ones, which kind of put me off him. But now this would make him revisit
his sequel,
stuff.
No,
it's not a sequel, although...
We're watching the trailer here and it looks very much like...
It's very similar.
Hugh Grant's in it as well.
Yeah, Hugh Grant's in it as well. His kind of character is kind of similar, even though it is a different character. But I was looking forward to this. This was supposed to come out in 2020 and I was really looking forward to it because, as I said, not normally a big fan, but loved The Gentleman, even though it was violent and everything. Just had a really good story, great cast. And I thought this would be exactly the same. This never got a cinema release.
Okay.
Now, the reason this never got a cinema release is because in it, it was supposed to come out last year. That's it. Mm-hmm. Never got a cinema release because in it, the bad guy in it, one of the bad guys in it now, there's numerous bad guys because as you
don't
know...
Don't tell me he's Russian.
No, he's Ukrainian.
Ah, right.
And we cannot be seen, apparently, at that time, you could not be seen to portray... Ukrainians, you know, in any kind of a negative way. Now, it had absolutely no relevance. This guy could have been from Mars for the amount, you know, it had no relevance whatsoever. The you know, it's one particular bad guy in a movie full of bad guys.
Yeah.
Like, from all over the place. There was, every other continent in the world was represented in some way as a bad guy. But because of that, at the time when it was supposed to be released, war had broken out and they decided that they couldn't release. People would not go to see a movie in which the one of the bad guys was. And I'm like, that just seems insane to me. Insane to me.
So he still is a Ukrainian bad guy. It hasn't been dubbed or anything.
No, it hasn't. Okay. No, it hasn't been changed.
You wouldn't know. You say, no, that's ridiculous.
I know.
Well,
I mean, they didn't change it. It just went.
No,
it is a world
gun. That's been done. Yeah,
no, it just,
yeah.
No, they did. But to be honest, I don't know. Did they recut it or something or whatever? But like, you kind of find out that he's a Ukrainian at like for about 15 seconds in it. And like I said, it has no relevance.
Maybe there's a bit of tweaking. I'm now thinking maybe there's a bit of tweaking done.
Well, if there is, you cannot see where the tweaking is in it. Because if you watch it, and I like anybody else that's watched it, I'd love them to comment in and see whether or not it meant something more than them and did I miss it somewhere along the way. But I was kind of genuinely looking out for it. Because I thought,
were probably just afraid of it being cancelled and never being able to publish it.
I don't know exactly what happened with it. Because like you think about, like, you know, you were talking about Jack Ryan. Jack Ryan has to have an enemy as such. You know, and like the first time round, I think it was Syrian. Like they have to pick a country, you know what I mean? Or like even just to be on the safe side, so go back in the day when, you know, all the Rocky movies were against Russia.
You know, some of these things are cut out. Like, you know, the Marvel series, The Falcon and the Winter Soldier, they rejigged that enormously. There was a whole storyline in that about a virus. And they were like, after COVID came, they cut all that out. But when you watch that 6 hours, you'd be hard pushed to find where that storyline was. It can be removed. That was the storyline.
So this looks like high budget, lots of explosions and fighting and stuff.
I think people watch it. I think you'll enjoy it. You love that kind of thing. If you like The Gentleman, there's a good story, there's good everything. I really enjoyed it. Now,
would you watch it with your granny?
Oh yeah, there's none of that in it. Just that it's a bit violent. That's the only thing.
Okay, she doesn't.
Granny doesn't mind a bit of violence. That's fine.
None of that in it.
Exactly. She just doesn't like the kissing. That's it.
So Operation Fortune. It's on Amazon.
Yeah.
So if you don't have Amazon, sign up for a free trial. Use an email address and exhaust their library in about a week.
And then let me know whether or not you were offended by the numerous bad guys in it.
Okay. Right. Flashdance on Apple Sky.
Oh, yes.
Is this a remake?
No, I rewatched the original film. I hadn't seen this film in over 30 years.
To see it in school.
It's one of the... not Flashdance. One of the first soundtracks I ever bought. I still have that on cassette tape. I still have it with its yellow cover. I had forgotten how much I loved everything about this film. It's just so much fun. It's just cheesy fun. And you've got this welder, who I think is a very good welder, and we were having this kind of discussion about what a bad welder she is. I totally think she's a great welder. But it's an utterly charming film. Yes, it has its issues. There's a 20-year age difference between her and her romantic partner, for instance, at least 20 years. But who cares? It's a film about believing in yourself. The music is fantastic. I would speak to people who saw it maybe years ago and have forgotten how great it is and how much fun it is. And what's interesting about it is there's subtext. She has these two friends who also have their dreams and also pursue their dreams, but they don't have anyone there to support them or to give them encouragement. And in the narrative, they both fail. She has an old lady who gives her unconditional support from day one, and the way it ends, you know, it ends well without spoiling it. And then there's a point there to be made about, look, giving support to people who have their dreams. And the other people are being torn down. There's the ice skater girl and her father is constantly making little of her. And there's the comedian guy and his boss. And another thing I loved about it and I had forgotten is that when you think of 80s movies like this, you expect every character to constantly enunciate every hope and dream they have. But Flashdance isn't like that. They don't constantly, you know, she doesn't even really put into words what she wants for a long time. So it's way better than I expected. And I loved every second of it.
I think that's a delightfully passionate review of the programme.
Yeah.
Of the film.
Yeah. And it is what it is. You got to just look at these
things. The subtext.
It is what it is.
About the subtext of Flashdance. Okay, I love the depth you bring to it all.
And you wouldn't think I'd enjoy a movie where you have Jennifer Beals in a leotard rolling around on the floor.
Wow.
But yes, I did.
Now he ruined it.
There you go.
Now he ruined it.
Yeah. Ruined it. Okay.
And but I was going to withhold my cynicism, but now.
Now you've And Michael Noory is in this, and he was in a cop show in the 80s called Downtown. He was Glenn Close's husband on Damages. He's in Yellowstone. Always been one of my favourite. And speaking of Yellowstone, Kevin Costner's out. It's official.
Oh, my word.
That's a shock.
That's going to upset people.
That's going to upset people. Kevin Costner, it seems to be officially declared this week after all, after weeks of fighting, infighting. Because the show is shut down production. He's not coming back. He's going to finish out his scenes, but he's not. He's leaving the show. I'm gutted.
I do want to find out what he did. That's going to end up being some sort of...
He wants to make a film. He did nothing.
I'm not going to ask you what you're going to do with Flashdance out
10.
Of 10.
11 out of 10.
It's amazing with Flashdance, because just the welding thing, just for people, if you've ever seen the full Monty, you'll know where the welding comes in. It's like a big scene.
Well, I mean, obviously she can take the helmet off and then shake out her hair.
It's one of the most...
In the full Monty, there's about a 10 minute scene.
You're jealous of that scene, Greg. You're very jealous of that scene.
Where they're watching they're watching Flashdance, and all they keep going is, that weld will never hold. That'll never hold.
Yeah,
The one thing that's weird about it is you rarely see it shown again.
Ah.
When you think about what Footloose has been on a lot, it's one of those movies.
Does Dirty Dancing get shown a lot?
Yes, it does. Yeah
okay.
It actually gets shown sometimes on a Sunday evening. I was like, what? Completely not children related.
Flashdance maybe is more of an after 9 o'clock film, is that right?
I know. But I just always find it amazing. It's one of those movies, it's one of those movies that even if people haven't seen it, have heard of it. Because it's kind of in the zeitgeist kind of.
I certainly have heard the soundtrack.
The soundtrack. Yeah. And another thing about this movie, it was the first Jerry Bruckheimer movie. Jerry Bruckheimer went on to produce Top Gun, went on to produce Beverly Hills Cop. He's the guy behind the CSI. He's behind everything.
Mm.
It started with Flashdance for Jerry Bruckheimer. I did not know that either.
What a feeling. Okay. What?
Excellent.
It was completely... All right, that is Flashdance. It's coming up on... It's on Sky, is it?
What? It's on... Apple. Check my notes here. I think Apple have it, isn't it? Yeah.
Which is on Sky, I suppose. That's where the...
Wait a second.
Apple's on
probably
on,
right. I'm just checking my own notes here. Flashdance, well, Apple and Sky.
That's what I was going to say.
You've got them there. Yeah, exactly. It's
okay,
both.
Okay, those are the voices of Michael and Fionnuala. What is the panel thoughts on the live-action Moana so soon after its original release?
Moana.
Okay, now, pardon my ignorance. Haven't heard of it. Till now.
I am looking forward to it. I have to say I really enjoyed it. It's the cartoon version that has The Rock in it. The Rock plays a demigod. And he does all the singing and everything in it. And it's actually very fun kind of a movie. He is going to be in it again. So it's interesting to see where that's going to go, to see him singing live action and that kind of thing.
Between that and Black Adam, which got an awful lot of criticism. Is his career... tailing off.
He's not the box office draw he was.
Moana, is that good or bad?
Well, the Moana thing is kind of based in his cultural heritage.
Yes.
And so one of the reasons why they made it, I think, was for, and we kind of use that phrase, people of color as in a broad range, but it really was for people who are culturally from, I suppose, South Pacific, different...
understood. Yeah, I get you.
Caribbean, different kind of those sort of island groups or whatever, the people that come from that culture. So that's really what this story is sort of based on. So that would be his own cultural heritage. So I think that's why it means a lot to him. You see an awful lot of things as well. He's got four girls, I think it is, and they're all under the age of 8 or 9. They are obsessive Moana fans. You see loads of him singing to them and trying to show them how he actually is the guy on the TV when they're watching the movie. So I think it's just something that maybe has a special place in his heart that he's doing it. But look at as people got excited about The Little Mermaid and different things like that, and that's due out in the next week or so, I think, in the cinema.
Okay.
We just have to wait and see what they do with it.
Caller says the acting in Kin, this series, is terrible.
Oh.
Apart from Aidan Gillen, who's an old reliable, isn't it?
Yeah.
And Marie Doyle Kennedy as well.
She's another reliable.
Back with more from Michael and Fionnuala after these. Okay, now, we were chatting on this programme last week about a special screening of On Colleen Kuhn, Fionnuala. Do you want to give us a reminder of that?
Yeah, just to let people know if anybody wants to go and see it. I know there's a lot of people that were disappointed and hadn't even heard too much about it until it came up with all the Oscar talk. But it is on next Wednesday, the 10th, at 8 o'clock. And it is on in the... cinema here, Century Cinema here, but it is an event being held by Lean Roletta Kenny. So you have to contact Lean Roletta Kenny in order to go, and the tickets are only €5.
Yeah, exactly,
so they're supporting it. So if you contact Lean Roletta Kenny, give a call there to 074-912-7479. Give the office a call there and book in, because it is reserved seating. There's only about 80 places for people, and it'll just be a group of people getting together. If you have a bit of Irish, even better, you can have a bit of a chat with everybody else. I'd love to tell you mine was as good. Not, I'm afraid. But it'll just be a really nice kind of an evening. Go and see the movie, have a little conversation in Irish with people, and just get to socialise through the medium of Irish.
Next Wednesday.
Next Wednesday, 8 o'clock.
Have you written a poem for me?
We have a poem, yes. Are we
can you give us the background to it?
Well, we went to see Tartuffe on Wednesday night. It's running, it's the Abbey's production. It's on tonight and tomorrow night. Mm-hmm. So two nights left. Recommend it. It's a comedy. It's an old comedy. We had the person on here talking about it a few weeks ago. Was it the week you were off, maybe?
Maybe.
But yeah, it's been updated. Frank McGuinness is responsible. It's definitely a think piece and a talking piece. Mm-hmm. It's about a character who misleads people. So you could analyse it in the lens of Trump or...
journalism.
Yeah, you can. No, seriously, yeah, you can.
I know.
We did spend ages downstairs. Like, we spent ages actually chatting about it downstairs, you know. But it's a farce, so you can take it seriously, or you can just... Yeah. A friend of mine came out and she said, great crack. Mm. You know, it's great crack. You don't have to be all serious about it if you don't want it like that. But the whole thing is... in rhyme.
Yeah.
So are we going to do our piece?
Well, not surprisingly, I didn't get a lot of it, but it was definitely worth seeing.
So the play is completely in rhyme?
Yes. Mm. Well, we do verse one to let him in the game, and then you can do verse two.
So you then wrote this?
Yes. Okay. So here we go. I'll do verse one, you do verse
weird.
Two.
Okay.
Go.
Myself and Fionnuala did go see a play. Was it on Tuesday? No, it was on Wednesday. We could have been late. We were on time. The play that we saw, it was all done in rhyme.
The music was loud and all quite appealing, and one chandelier did hang from the ceiling. The costumes were garish, a sight to behold. The programme was large, it did need a fold.
People were laughing from start to the end. Did we mention the programme? It was easy to bend. Though laughs were aplenty, 'tis a play about lies and those who successfully pull wool over eyes. There you go. Do you want now? That's you tonight. Greg is buying a ticket.
I don't know what's happening. Okay, this is all great.
Do you think we should do that every week?
No. No, I really don't.
I told him it was too long.
It was perfect. I liked. Yeah. The folding programme seemed to feature quite a lot.
It did, yeah.
All right, so...
it's amazing what you'll rhyme when it's like 12:30 at night and you're like, I need to rhyme.
I actually think you did really quite well. Your delivery was far more enthusiastic than Fionnuala's.
He has an acting, but I'm not...
You're a natural performer.
I can't even voice ads here. I'm no good at it.
All right. Caller says, had a great time on the Glasgow trip. Well done to all involved. Katie and Sean signed.
No, we had a good... They did have a good time. Everybody got back safely, thank God, yesterday evening. So that was...
Were you just referring to Katie and Sean?
I was worried about them too.
It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia and Ted Lasso are great TV shows.
Yes,
both,
completely.
Certainly,
agreed.
Obviously, Ted Lasso's often talked on this show.
Always Sunny is just like it's the longest running live action. Sitcom. Deservedly so.
All yours are done, Michael. So you're out, and we have time—a couple of minutes—for one of. We've done Tartuffe, okay, so we covered that. Guardians of the Galaxy, Operation Fortune. No offence, which one do you want to talk about?
No offence is just for myself because I absolutely love it. And yep, if anybody likes.
Perfect.
It's an old one. It's been there. It's been around for a while. Channel 4 did it. It's quite a few years old. It must be nearly 8 to 10 years old now at this stage since it started. Came across it on Disney. It just landed there lately, which is unusual for English produced stuff to end up on Disney.
Actually, that's really quite true, yeah.
Yeah, you usually see them hitting Amazon or even Netflix. So that's what kind of drew me to. I absolutely love this. If you like a police ensemble, what they do is it's over three episodes. It has the most amazing, fantastic cast. You'll recognize those along the way. It's funny. It's got enough horror and goo to show you like the violence of what's going on. There's three series in it. There's an overarching story that runs over the course of each series, as well as individual day-to-day stuff. The characters, you just kind of quickly become immersed in them and really like them. I absolutely love it. I think it's just fantastic. I'm trying to get everybody to watch it.
When was it originally produced?
I think it originally came out like 2015, 2016, okay, something like that it was done.
So this might be a little bit like the prison one. It might have sort of not come across people's people's
radar. Definitely. Well, I think there'd be an awful lot of people that would have missed it as well, because it was on quite late at night because the language is horrendous.
Okay.
It's very kind of like a lot of bad language in it, a lot of kind of crude talk and that kind of thing.
I know what you mean, yeah.
So
yeah.
I think a lot of people might have missed it that are of a particular age, but I absolutely love that. I think you just get into it and the characters in it are just... they're just very appealing. And I think when you've got a good, solid characters in it that are given that kind of thing, and there's some fantastic actresses and actors in it, you see them recognise everybody.
Excellent. All right. Listen, thank you so much, Fionnuala, as always. It's been a pleasure to have you in, as you, Michael. And thank you for your recommendations and your conversations. And thank you, listeners, for being involved in this hour and the show throughout the course of the week. And thank you very much, too, to Donna Marie, who researched and produced the show, and Niamh also, who worked on the programme as well. We're all back with you on Monday morning at 9 o'clock. Stay tuned. Michaela Clark is in for John around the Northwest. I think he's away to see the boss. So hopefully everyone who's doing that has a lovely weekend and safe travels to and from. But for me and the team here on the 9 till noon show, we'll chat to you, as I mentioned, on Monday.